الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى ونؤمن بأن الله تعالى لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار وهو اللطيف الخبير. The author he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, and no vision can grasp him, but he grasps all vision. He is the most subtle and courteous, well acquainted with all things. لا تدركه الأبصار. No vision can grasp him. The people of knowledge, they mention here what is intended by the word al-idrak is al-ihata. No vision can grasp him, meaning can comprehend him in entirety. No one will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to encompass him with one sight. Al-ihata, it means encompassment. La tudrikuhu al-abasar. The visions are not able to grasp him, meaning to encompass him with sight. وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ. And he encompasses all things in his sight. And he encompasses all visions. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So this is with regards to the fact that the believers, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the author, he mentions after this, وَنُؤْمِنُوا بِأَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَرَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And we believe that the believers, they will see their Lord on the day of resurrection. And the author, he mentioned as evidence for this, the statement of Allah the Most High, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. That some faces on that day will be shining and radiant, and he full of brilliance and light, looking at their Lord. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. So this is with regards to the issue of الرؤية. رؤية المؤمنين ربهم يوم القيامة. The fact that the believers, they will see their Lord on the day of resurrection. The first verse here is to clarify that although the believers, they will see their Lord, they will not encompass him with their vision. They will not encompass him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with their sight and their vision. Only they will only see that which Allah allows them to see, and no sight or no vision will be able to encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the issue of adam or nafi al-idrak, it is not negating nafi al-idrak, yani nafya al-ihata, so not negating that Allah, he will be seen, but negating that Allah will be encompassed in vision, that Allah, he will be encompassed in vision. So no one will be able to encompass him with their sight, although on the day of resurrection, Allah will be able, the people, those believers whom Allah favors and selects and chooses, he will allow them to see him, although their sight will not encompass him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because indeed Allah, he is the most great and the most high, and no eye could encompass him with sight or with vision. Yet he encompasses all sight and all vision, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is intended here. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. And we believe that Allah the Most High, no visions, no sight, will be able to encompass him. So this is not a negation of seeing him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, this is a negation of encompassing him with sight. وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ. And he encompasses and grasp all visions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa al-latifu al-khabir. And he is the most subtle and courteous, kind, and all aware and acquainted with all things. Wa nu'minu bi anna al-mu'minina yarawna rabbahum yawm al-qiyamah. Yarawna rabbahum yawm al-qiyamah. And we believe that the believers, they will see their Lord on the day of resurrection. Wujuhum yawma idhin Nadira, and faces, some faces on that day, meaning the faces of those noble believers, will be bright and full of light and brilliance. Ila Rabbiha Nadira, Ila Rabbiha Nadira, looking at their Lord. This is the greatest favor and the highest and the most lofty blessing that the believers in the hereafter, they will be allowed to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has been corrected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiyallahu anhu that he said, Kunna inda an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa nadhara ila al-qamar laylatan, yani al-Badr, that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at the moon, meaning whenever it was a full moon. فَقَالَ إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمْرِ لَا تُضَامُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ, that indeed you're going to see your Lord the way you see the moon, the way you see the moon, not having to crowd around each other or harm one another in order to see. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's affirming this issue likewise. إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ, indeed you're going to see your Lord. كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمْرِ, just as you see that moon, just as you see the moon. لَا تُضَامُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ, يعني لَا تَزْدَحِمُونَ عَلَى رُؤْيَتِهِ, meaning you're not crowded, you don't have to crowd around one each other, you don't have to strive hard to see. In some, لَا تُضَارُونَ, you don't have to harm one another, you don't have to make great effort. Rather, the same way that all of you can sit here in one spot and look up and see the moon clearly in that manner, likewise all of you will be able to see your Lord, to be able to see your Lord. So this is not resembling Allah to the moon, وَلِيَذْ بِاللَّهِ, but this is clarifying the clarity and the ease that they will be able to see Allah, that they will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet is clarifying here, just as they are able to look up without any trouble, without any problem, without one having to reach over the other, without one having to reach over the other or to push people out of the way in order to see, they just as they're all in the gathering, they can all just look up gradually and see the full moon in the sky, then likewise on the day of resurrection the believers will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah to make us from those whom He favors and allows them to see. In this life no one is able to see Him, the eyes are not strong enough, the eyes do not have the ability to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the day of resurrection and in al-Jannah, Allah, He will grant the believers the ability to see Him. He will grant the believers the ability to see Him. And although they will be able to see Him, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ, they will not be able to encompass Him with their sight. They will not be able to encompass Him with their sight. And they will not be able to encompass Allah Azza wa Jalla whenever they see Him. They will see that which Allah allows them to see, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the issue of al-idraq or rihata bil-basar or bil-ru'ya can be understood by looking into the creation. Maybe a person, for example, if we were to go outside right now, we could see the sky, but we will not be able to encompass the sky with our vision or eyesight. We can only see the sky that's above us. We cannot see the sky in Florida, or the sky in Indonesia, or the sky in Somalia, or the likes like this. So we can see the sky, but we're not able to encompass in entirety and see it in entirety. And our vision does not encompass the sky, although it is clearly seen. So this is the meaning of al-idraq, adam al-idraq, or nafyu al-idraq, that to encompass, this is negated. Encompassing Allah with vision is negated. Allah akbar min hadha. Allah is greater than that. Allahu akbar min kulli shay. He's greater than all things. It's not possible to encompass Him with one's eyesight or sight, even though He will allow them and grant them the ability on the day of resurrection and in the Jannah to see Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla in this great favor and this great blessing after the favor and blessing of entering paradise is something every believer will hope for. But this cannot be with false hopes. It cannot be with empty hopes. Rather, it has to be with hopes that is coupled with great effort and striving in seeking the pleasure of Allah and seeking the love of Allah and avoiding His anger and the affairs that He dislikes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from statement, action, deed, and creed. This narration of Jarir radiallahu anhu continues, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he indicates this issue here of the obligation of striving. So after he mentions, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمْرِ يعني ليلة البدر لَا تُضَامُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ, that indeed you're going to see your Lord the same way you see the moon the full moon, not having to gather around and crowd one another in order to see, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَافْعَلُوا فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَافْعَلُوا. So therefore, if you are able to not be overcome, with regards to the prayer, the salah, before the rising of the sun and before its setting, then you must do that. And this is clarity that there's a relationship between the prayer and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically, and in obedience to Allah in general. Then if a person, he hopes to see Allah azza wa jal, then he should not be overcome by his desires or the distractions of this worldly life with regards to these two prayers specifically. And these are from the prayers that a person can easily be overcome. He can easily be overcome, and his soul can overcome him, and the distractions of this life can overcome him, and he could miss these prayers, either missing them altogether, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, or missing them in congregation in the most virtuous and pleasing, manner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا, if you are able to not be overcome, عَلَى الصَّلَاةٍ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ, if you are able to not be overcome with regards to the prayer before the rising of the sun, which is the Fajr prayer that we just prayed, alhamdulillah, this morning we were not overcome. This is from the favor and the blessing of Allah upon us. Alhamdulillah, we prayed the Fajr prayer in the masjid of the people of the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Some people, they prayed the masjid of Fajr and their people of the Sunnah, but they prayed it in the masjid of the people of innovation because they don't have a masjid of the people of the Sunnah in their neighborhood. Others people, they prayed it in their house because there's no masjid in their neighborhood. Other people, they didn't even pray because they don't believe. Or others, they prayed the Fajr, but it's negligent in their home because they're lazy, so on and so forth. So alhamdulillah, we prayed the Fajr prayer in the masjid of the people of the Sunnah this morning. This is a favor and a blessing that should not go neglected. Rather, a believer, he should love Allah for that favor and that blessing and show thanks and hope to be steadfast upon that way. فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى الصَّلَاةٍ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ, so if you're able to not be overcome with regards to the prayer before the rising of the sun, وَالصَّلَاةٍ قَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا, and another prayer before its setting, which is the Asr prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that the Asr prayer is Salatul Wusta. And Allah, he mentioned, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and maintain the prayers, especially the middle prayer, صَلَاةُ الْوُسْطَى, and stand devout and in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned صَلَاةُ الْعَصْرِ صَلَاةُ الْوُسْطَى, that the صَلَاةُ الْعَصْرِ is the middle prayer, and the most virtuous of affairs is that which is in the middle and in moderation. So these prayers are very important to establish and maintain, along with the fact that all of them are. And if a person, he were to establish these two and neglect the others, then he would be neglectful and blameworthy. And that's not what is intended, but to show extra emphasis. After establishing all five daily prayers, to show extra emphasis to these two. Because these two are in specific times in the life of a person that it's easy for him to be overcome. Sometimes, for example, in the morning time, a person can be overcome by his pillow. His pillow can overcome him, or his sheet can overcome him, and the comfort of his family can overcome him, for example, and cause him to be delayed in rising out of bed until he missed the time for the prayer, or he's too late to make it to the congregation, or he makes it late to the congregation, so on and so forth. All of these are means that he's being delayed from seeking the pleasure of Allah and the good reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's being overcome by his desires. His whims and his desires may overcome him, and he is very difficult at this time, except for those whom Allah has made it easy for. And we ask Allah to make it easy for us. We ask Allah to make it easy for us to learn the guidance and to follow and to prefer it, to learn the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to follow it and to prefer it. So these are three different issues. Each one of them must be showed great care and concern. Learning the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one thing, and to follow it is another. And to follow is another. And then to prefer that guidance and following that guidance over one's desires or one's customs or one's cultures or the ways of his forefathers, this is a whole nother affair. This is a whole nother affair. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to learn the guidance and to follow it and to prefer it. And to prefer it. So this is one of those times that a person could be overcome by his desires and his whims. And likewise at the Asr time as well. At the Asr time as well, this is in the end time, the afternoon, at the end of the day. And many times this is the peak of work for some people and their business and their trade and their daily efforts are moving along and the likes like this. And it requires for a person to cease these things and to put a halt to these things and to stop these things in the middle of the flow as things are going through and coming to the end of the day and the people are coming with their wealth or their business and so on and so forth and the man he's going through his daily deeds, then at this time a person he has to put a stop to these affairs and show preference to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and show preference to the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla and let these distractions go for the sake of Allah and establish that prayer. So these two prayers specifically, a person, he must strive to establish them properly. Some of the people of knowledge mention what is intended here. Some of the people of knowledge mention what is intended here. Al-ghalaba, do not get, so if you're able to not be overcome with regards to these prayers, they mention what is intended is to be overcome, meaning that a person, he would leave them, or that he would delay them entirely. Others, they mention what is intended is the prayer in the congregation. Allah tughlabu, that you should not be overcome. Allah tughlabu ala salat, they should not be overcome with regards to the prayer. Some mention with regards to the prayer itself. Others, they mention what is intended is the congregational prayer, that you should not be overcome until you miss the congregation. So in any case, a believer, he will strive to establish these prayers, and he will strive to establish them in the best manner and in the best way that is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the men that is in the masajid. With the men. In these lands, sometimes it's not possible because the masajid are far and distant from a person's occupation or his home. But he should not let that be an excuse to be lazy. Rather, he should strive to make effort. And if he's able to, and if that means he has to just take some small sacrifices or go through a little extra difficulty by leaving 5 minutes early or the likes like this, then he should strive to do that. And seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read the verse, ثُمَّ قَرَأَ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبَلَ تُرُعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبَلَ الْغُرُوبِ. And recite and glorify the praises of your Lord before the rising of the sun, before the rising of the sun, and before the sunset. And before the sunset. And Allah knows best. This issue here is from the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal for us. This discussion that we're discussing, the evidence here is in the statement of Allah, wujuhun yawma idhin nadhira ila rabbiha nadhira. What chapter is this from? Surah Al-Qiyamah. And then it's wasabbih bihamdi rabbika qabla tulu'i shamsi wa qabla al-ghurub. What surah is this from? Surah Al-Qaf. What did the Imam recite this morning in Salah? Surah Al-Qaf and Surah Al-Qiyamah. So we listened to these same verses. We listened to these same verses this morning in the Fajr prayer, Alhamdulillah. And then we sat down and studied these verses in a bit of brief detail from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the clarification from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is from the success of Allah Azza wa Jal for us. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. The verses after this, they continue And their other faces, وَوُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَاسِرًا. Their other faces, they're going to be sad, they're going to be gloomy, they're going to be in great regret and great remorse. And the verses continue after that, clarifying from the reason why they are gloomy, and why they are in remorse, and why they are grieving, and why they are sad, and why they are failures. فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى. They did not give charity, nor did they establish their prayer. فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى. An indication again that those who see the face of Allah Azza wa Jalla is because of their sincere faith and the application of that faith, specifically the salah, and then likewise charity and all of the other righteous actions. The narration clarifies even more specific the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer, and according to the understanding of some of the people of knowledge, even more specific in congregation. So the salat is of utmost importance. Barakallahu fikum. As-salat umud al-islam, umud al-deen. It's the foundation, the pillar of the deen. If a person has set up a tent, they set up the tent with the pillar post on the side, the one in the middle, that's the amud. If that one falls, then the whole tent falls. If that middle one falls down, then the other one's going to collapse in. The other ones are going to collapse inside. This is the example of the salat, of the obligatory salah. It must be established. If it falls, the deen falls. Ya'adhu billah. Umar, he said, radiallahu anhu, la hadha fil islami liman la yusalli. La hadha fil islami liman la yusalli. There's no portion of Islam for the one who doesn't pray. So the point here is to clarify that the believers, they will see Allah Azza wa Jalla in the hereafter, and we hope to be from them. To emphasize this issue is the narration collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ جَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ جَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And whenever the people of paradise, they enter the paradise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah, he will say, the Most High, أَتُرِيدُ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. Do you want anything I can give you extra? Do you want anything? This is what Allah, he will say to the people of paradise whenever they enter the paradise, after they've been favored in this manner. Do you want anything? Is there anything that you want that I can give you extra? Azidukum, yani aziyad, extra, more than what you already have from entering paradise. فَيَقُولُونَ أَلَمْ تُبَيِّضْ وُجُوهَنَا أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ. Did you not already enlighten and brighten our faces? And did you not already admit us into paradise? وَتُنْجِينَا وَتُنَجِّينَا مِنَ النَّارِ وَتُدْخِلَنَا الْجَنَّةِ أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ وَتُنَجِّينَا مِنَ النَّارِ. Did you not already admit us into paradise and save us from the hellfire? قَالَ. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ. And Allah, he will remove the veil. فَمَا أُعْطُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَ. And they have not been given anything more beloved to them than looking at their Lord Azza wa Jal. Azza wa Jal. So the believers, they will see Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection, and they will see Him in Jannah. And this is what we believe in. And we hope that we'll be from them. And we believe that those who are allowed to see Him, it's because they had been given success and shown great mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla in this life to take the means, working upon al-Iman al-Sadiq wa al-Amal al-Salih, working upon al-Iman al-Sadiq wa al-Amal al-Salih, working upon sincere and true faith and the application of the righteous and good deeds. Those people who gather between al-Ilm wa al-Amal, knowledge and application. May Allah make us from them. And this is why we ask Allah to increase us in knowledge and to teach us that which is beneficial and to busy us with that which is beneficial from learning the religion, and to grant us an understanding in His deen, an understanding that will be a proof for us and not against us. So after this, the author, he says, to emphasize again, and this verse has come, and he has mentioned the same statement referred to this in a number of points, but again to emphasize, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمِثْلَ لَهُ لِكَمَالِ صِفَاتِهِ. And we believe that Allah, He has no resemblance or comparison because of the perfection of His, because of the completeness of His attributes. And we believe that Allah, لَمِثْلَ لَهُ, لَمِثْلَ لَهُ, there's nothing like Him. There's nothing like him. لِكَمَالِ صِفَاتِهِ Because of the completeness. Because of the completeness of his attributes. His attributes are complete. His attributes are complete. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ There's nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ لِكَمَالِ حَيَاتِهِ وَقَيُّمِيَّتِهِ And we believe that Allah, no slumber nor sleep overtakes him because of his complete life and his qayyumiyyah. The qayyumiyyah meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sustains himself. He sustains himself and he sustains and provides for all things. So Allah al-qayyum al-qa'imu binafsihi al-qa'imu ala ghayrihi. Allah, he establishes his own life. He needs nothing, and he is the one who is establishing and preserving the life and existence of all things. So his life, his hayat, is kamila, without any deficiency whatsoever. It's complete, without any deficiency whatsoever, and likewise is qayyumiyyah. So the author, he's referring to some issues here now that we discussed previously, and that is whenever there's weaknesses or deficiencies or faults negated from Allah Azza wa Jal, هذا النفي ليس محضا بل هو نفي الذي يستلزم كمال ضده. It's a type of negation that's not just mere negation, but rather it's a negation that includes the affirmation of its complete opposite. So whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about himself, وَلَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ No sleep or slumber overtakes him. He doesn't get tired or sleepy. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ He doesn't get tired or no fatigue. He doesn't feel fatigue, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا And he doesn't feel any tiredness in preserving the creation of the heavens and the earth. This is because this negation here is a negation of this weakness and this deficiency along with the affirmation of its complete opposite. So he's saying this is what's being referred to here, this principle now. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ لِكَمَالِ حَيَاتِهِ وَقَيُّمِيَّتِهِ So we believe that Allah, no slumber nor sleep overtakes him because of his complete life and his complete قَيُّمِيَّة and his authority and command and preservation and power and strength over all things. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ لَا يَظْلِمُ أَحَدًا لِكَمَالِ عَدْلِهِ And we believe that Allah, he does not oppress anyone because of his complete justice. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا Your Lord, he does not oppress anyone. So here we negate oppression from Allah Azza wa Jal. يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ ظُلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا Oh my slaves, I have made oppression haram and forbidden for me, and I have forbidden amongst you, so do not oppress one another. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he has negated oppression from himself. He does not oppress anyone whatsoever. And this is because of his complete justice. So negation of this lowly trait of oppression is an affirmation of its complete opposite. And the opposite of oppression is justice. So then he says, Rahimahullah, وَبِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِغَافِرٍ عَنْ عَمَالِ عِبَادِهِ وَلَيْسَ بِغَافِرٍ عَنْ عَمَالِ عِبَادِهِ لِكَمَالِ رَقَابَتِهِ وَإِحَاطَتِهِ And also we believe that Allah is not heedless or forgetful of the deeds of his slaves because of his complete observance and encompassment of knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not negligent or forgetful. لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى وَلَيْسَ بِغَافِرٍ أَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ And Allah, He's not heedless or forgetful of what the oppressors they work. And this is because of His complete observance. لِكَمَالِ رِقَابَتِهِ And either الرِقَابَ is meaning observance. That Allah, He's completely aware of all things at all times and in all manners. And He has encompassed all things in knowledge. وَإِحَاطَتِهِ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ لَا يَعْجِزُهُ شَيْءٌ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ لَا يُعْجِزُهُ شَيْءٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِكَمَالِ عِلْمِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ And we believe that nothing can escape him or outwit him. Nothing can overcome him or weaken him in any manner. No one can outdo him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or flee from him or avoid him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing in the heavens and the earth. This is because of his complete knowledge and ability. His complete knowledge and ability. Allah, He has encompassed all things in knowledge, and He has the ability to do all things. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا So nothing can escape Allah Azza wa Jal. Nothing can hide from Allah or flee from Allah or avoid His command or returning back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَكُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. His command and His order, whenever He intends something or whenever He wants something subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He will say be and it is. Is that He will say be and it is. Verily His command when He intends a thing is only that He says to it be and it is. Kun fayakun. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's powerful and strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful and strong. He's the most high and the most lofty. Nothing can escape Him or overcome Him or deceive Him or hide from Him or flee from Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are indeed all created and under the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. We belong to Him and we're going to return to Him. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to aid us to return to Him in the best manner. So the author, he says, وَبِأَنَّهُ لَا يَلْحَقُهُ تَعَبٌ وَلَا إِعْيَاءٌ لِكَمَالِ قُوَّتِهِ. And we believe that he feels no tiredness or any fatigue because of his complete power. His complete power. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And indeed we have created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and no fatigue has touched us. أي من من تعب ولا إعياء, meaning no tiredness or no fatigue whatsoever. ونؤمن بثبوت كل ما أثبته الله لنفسه أو أثبت له رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأسماء والصفات. And we believe in affirming everything that Allah affirmed for Himself and that His Messenger had affirmed for Him صلى الله عليه وسلم from His names and attributes. لكننا نتبرأ من محظورين عظيمين. But we free ourselves from two great affairs that are forbidden and that we avoid and stay away from. Huma at-tamthil, and they are at tamthil, to liken Allah to the creation. And yaqula biqalbihi aw lisanihi, that one he will say with his heart or with his tongue, sifatullahi ta'ala ka sifatil makhluqin, that the attributes of Allah the Most High are like the attributes of the creation. We free ourselves from this issue. This is called at tamthil, also known as at tashbih, resembling Allah to the creation. It occurs with the heart or with the tongue. Even if a person, he didn't say it, but he thought of that in his heart, this is forbidden and not allowed. This is forbidden and not allowed to think like this or to speak like this. What takyif, and to ask how or to delve into how. And this is going to lead a person to a tamthil. You cannot delve into how or speak about how these attributes are except by resembling them to the creation, because al-kalamu fi sifati far'un an al-kalamu fi dhat. To speak about the attributes of something is stemming or based upon speaking about the essence. And we haven't seen the essence of Allah, so therefore we have no idea how the attributes are. So it's not allowed to speak about these affairs or to delve into how these realities are. So therefore we establish them kama yaliku bi jalalihi wa 'azamatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the manner befitting the majesty of Allah the Most High. What takif, and yakula biqalbihi aw lisanihi, and it takif, to delve into how, by a person saying with his heart or with his tongue, kayfiyatu sifati Allahi ta'ala kada wa kada, the way, the reality of how the attributes of Allah are is like this or like that. It's like this or like that. The author, he says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِانْتِفَاءِ كُلِّ مَا نَفَاهُ اللَّهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ أَوْ نَفَاهُ عَنْهُ رَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And we believe in negating from Allah everything that He negated from Himself and everything that His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم negated from Him. And these are some of the principles that have preceded in the previous classes. We have discussed these issues in brief detail in a number of our previous classes. So now we just close them here. And the brothers and sisters can refer to those previous classes. He's mentioning them now. We discussed the details of them earlier. Alhamdulillah. So we believe in that which Allah has negated from Himself and that which His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated from Him. وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ النَّفْيَ يَتَضَمَّنُ إِثْبَاتًا لِكَمَالِ ضِدِّهِ. And that negation consists of affirming its complete opposite. وَنَسْكُتُ عَمَّا سَكَتَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And we're silent about that which Allah and His Messenger were silent about, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We don't delve into that part. We don't delve into that. وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ. والسؤال عنه بدع. And to ask about how these affairs are, or ask about these issues that Allah was silent about, and His Messenger was silent about, and that the companions, they were silent about, and the tabi'un, they were silent about, رضي الله عنهم, we were silent about that likewise. نَقِفُ حَيْثُ وَقَفَ الْقَوْمِ. We stop where the people stop. Yani the people of piety and righteousness, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We stop where they stop. We stop where they stop. So this is a beautiful way. وَنَرَى أَنَّ السَّيْرَ عَلَى هَذَا الطَّرِيقِ فَرُضٌ لَا بُدَّ مِنْهُ. And we believe that traversing upon this path, and we believe that traversing upon this path is an obligation, is an incumbent obligation. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ مَا أَثْبَتَهُ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ أَوْ نَفَاهُ عَنْهَا سُبْحَانَهُ فَهُوَ خَبْرٌ أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. And this is because whatever Allah He affirmed for Himself or He negated from Himself, this is information that Allah has informed us of. أَخْبَرَ بِهِ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ عَلَمُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَأَصْدَقُ قِيلَ وَأَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا. And we believe that traversing upon this path of negation and affirmation in the manner that has preceded is an incumbent obligation. This is because what Allah has affirmed for Himself or negated from Himself, this is information that Allah informed us of about Himself. This is information that Allah has informed us of about Himself. And He, the Most High, is most knowledgeable of Himself, and He is the most truthful in speech, and He is the best. And He has the best speech, and the وَالْعِبَادُ لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. And the slaves are not able to encompass Him in knowledge. This point is very clear. We understand this. Allah, He informed us about these attributes. He affirmed some of them for Himself, and others He has negated. So this is information Allah, He has informed us of. And Allah, He is the most knowledgeable of Himself and of His creation. And Allah, He is the most truthful in speech, and the most direct and beneficial in statement. So therefore, it's incumbent to believe in that, and to affirm that in a manner befitting His Majesty. وَمَا أَثْبَتُهُ لَهُ رَسُولُهُ وَأَوْ نَفَاهُ عَنْهُ فَهُوَ خَبَرٌ أَخْبَرَ بِهِ عَنْهُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِرَبِّهِ وَأَنْصَحُ الْخَلْقِ وَأَصْدَقُهُمْ وَأَفْصَحُهُمْ. And that which His Messenger affirmed for Him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or negated from Him, likewise is information about Him from Him. Is information about Allah from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And He is the most knowledgeable of mankind with regards to His Lord. And He is the most sincere in advising the creation. And He is the most truthful and eloquent in speech from the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, to affirm these affairs in the manner the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had affirmed them or negated them, without delving into how, without resembling them to the creation whatsoever, or delving into how, or without distorting the meaning or changing the understanding, and without denying the traits and attributes that are affirmed in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَفِي كَلَامِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَمَالُ الْعِلْمِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَالْبَيَانِ فَلَا عُذْرَ فِي رَدِّهِ أَوْ التَّرَدُّدِ. So the speech of Allah the Most High and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complete knowledge and truthfulness and clarity. It's complete knowledge, honesty, truthfulness, and clarity. So there's no excuse for anyone to reject any of these attributes or to hesitate in accepting them. There's no excuse for anyone to reject any of these attributes nor to hesitate in accepting them. We cannot reject any of them, nor can we hesitate in accepting them. And it's not allowed likewise to say, oh, I believe that Allah has that Allah, He made istiwa, and then just be silent. To say, I believe that Allah has istiwa, and just be silent. Whatever that means, I don't know. Like that. This is not allowed likewise. You cannot make taraddud about this affair. Rather, you have to say the way the people of the Sunnah say. The way Al-Imam Malik, he said, rahimahullah, al-istiwa ma'lum. Al-istiwa ma'lum. The istiwa is ma'lum. The meaning of the word is known. So we affirm the meaning of the word. We don't deny the meaning of the word, or we do not distort the meaning of the word, and also we do not say we don't know the meaning of the word. This is also a foul way that we haven't discussed yet. It's called a tafwil. A tafwil. And this is another deviant sect called al mufawwila. The mufawwila. And they entrust the meaning of the attribute to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they claim that they're doing this out of piety. But this is not right. This is not correct. And they're from the worst of the misguided sects. And they say that Allah has these attributes, and they don't know how they are. and that they don't know the meaning of what they are. They say that they affirm the attribute Allah has hands, but what does hands mean? We trust that to Allah. What does eyes mean? We entrust that to Allah. What does hearing mean? We entrust that to Allah. La, this is not the way of the Salaf. This is not the way of the Salaf. What is entrusted to Allah is how it is. As for the original meaning, this is something that is known. Al-istiwa wa ma'lum. Al-istiwa wa ghayru majhul. The istiwa, the rising is known, meaning the meaning of that word is known. So likewise, the yed is known. The rijl is known, or the qadim. The qadim is known. The ayn is known. The sam' is known. The basr is known. These attributes, it's known what they mean in the Arabic language. So that original meaning is established and affirmed. We don't say how we don't stop there and say we believe in the attribute, but we don't know what it means. No, we know what it means. We know what it means. Allah, He spoke to us in the clear Arabic language, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He spoke to us in the clear Arabic language, and the revelation has been completed and perfected in the clear Arabic language. So the meanings are known, but as for the how, this is what is entrusted to Allah. This is what is entrusted to Allah. Because if we entrust the meaning to Allah and say we don't even know the meaning of these words, then it's like we've been spoken to about something and Allah has revealed us these great obligations and clarifications about things that have no meanings, or we don't even know what they are. We don't even know what they are. And then likewise, it opens the doorway for the deviant people to come along and say, well, I know what it means. It means this, and it means that, and it means this, and it means that, and they play games. So, the proper way is to affirm these attributes in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah. The original meaning is well known, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and He sees. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So we say, there's nothing resembling to Allah azza wa jal whatsoever, and He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So therefore Allah, He hears and He sees. And we know what hearing and seeing means. Hearing means to comprehend sound. And the light, just to comprehend sound. And seeing, it means to comprehend vision, and to see objects. And we know what that originally means. So therefore, we affirm that meaning for Allah. We don't entrust that to Allah. We say, well, Allah knows best what seeing means. Allah knows best what hearing means. La, we don't say that. We say we know what hearing means. We know what seeing means. And we affirm it for Allah Azza wa Jalla because He affirmed it for Himself. That which we entrust to Allah is al-kayf, how it is, how it is. How it is. So we have to distinguish here, because there are some people that are very sneaky, they're very tricky, they're deceitful, and they ascribe this madhhab of at-tafwil to the salaf, and they mix this affair up. That which we make tafwil of is the kayf only, not the meaning. The mufawwila, this deviant sect, Imam Ahmed, he mentioned they're from the worst of them, from the most deviant of them. Rahimahullah, is that they make tafwil of the ma'na. The problem they have is making tafwil of the ma'na. يُفَوِّضُونَ مَعَنَا sifat, that they entrust the meaning of the sifat to Allah, meaning they claim they have no understanding of the meaning. As for Ahl Sunnah, they affirm the meaning. يُثْبِتُونَ الْمَعَانِيَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى مَا تَلِيكُ بِجَلَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. We affirm those meanings for Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which is clear in the Arabic language, in the manner befitting the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he mentions now Faslun. There's a brief chapter that's also still related to Al-Imanu Billah. And he discusses some more of these principles and some of these issues. And inshallah, we take this in our classes to come. As we have seen, barakallahu fikum, that the book is based upon Al-Imanu Billah. وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر والإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره. The six pillars of faith. The pillars of faith. So the first one is الإيمان بالله. So الحمد لله. We have basically completed that which the author he mentioned with regards to that. There's only a short brief chapter touching on some of these important principles with regards to understanding these affairs. And then after that we move on to الإيمان بالملائكة, and then after that the rest of those pillars. So I mention this now to mention, barakallahu fikum, that because of the days that we are in and the season that is approaching, the coming of the days of Hajj, we want to have a proper time to study the rulings of Hajj, yani without having to hasten or to rush or to neglect anything. So we're going to now, since we have come to a good portion in this work, we're going to stop this book here and continue with the book by our Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, which is entitled Tabsir al-Nasik bi-Ahkam al-Manasik bi-Ahkam al-Manasik ala al-Dawi al-Kitabi wa Sunnah wa al-Ma'thuri an al-Sahaba, which is a small book about the sacred rites of Hajj. and the issues related to Al-Hajj and Umrah, and the description of that, and the pillars and conditions, and the Sunan and the likes, and the great advice and direction in that work by our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin ibn Hamid Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala. So we'll start that Sunday night, and we'll study that every day in the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, inshallah, until we cover a good portion of that, so that the brothers and sisters who are preparing to make Hajj this year, they will be able to make Hajj upon insight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, anyone who is not making Hajj, they will be able to learn these rulings and to help themselves if they want to make Hajj, or answer questions and direct others and benefit them as well by having light and guidance that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.